Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in the gospel that God Almighty came in the flesh, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose from the dead on the third day, paid the price. Lord, we thank you. You paid the price. Lord, you paid for it. You fulfilled it. You took care of it. Lord, you just want us to believe it and to walk with you and to get to know you in a real relationship. And we thank you, Lord, that we can. By the blood you shed on that cross, we can enter into a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship you today. We exalt you today. We love you today. And Lord, I'm praying that if anybody out there watching this, they don't know you yet. They might know about you, Lord, but they don't know you, your presence, your power, your forgiveness, that they'll surrender to you today, that they'll turn from their sins, they'll surrender, give up the things of this world and become your disciple. They will follow you, Lord, believe what you did for them on the cross, believe in your atoning blood and your resurrection. You are the Savior, the Messiah, the only one who can wash away sins and the only one that gives eternal life. I pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Well, we welcome everyone here. It's been a wild week for us, a week of spiritual warfare and battle. But those seasons come. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I want everybody to turn, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 6. It ought to be a familiar passage of Scripture. But I want to just focus on a couple of points in that. And I'll show you, too. We're going to look at something in Matthew 11 in just a minute. But, you know, if you're going to take any ground for the kingdom of God, meaning, if you're going to step out with it, it's one thing to say, okay, the first step in anything, whether it be truth, some biblical truth you're learning or you've learned, it's not really always what you know. It's what you're willing to step out with. It's what you're willing to speak. It's what you're willing to go tell somebody. It's what you're willing to do, to obey. And, you know, the kingdom of God, he tells us, you know, he told us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. He told us to pray that his kingdom would come on earth, or in earth, actually, as it is in heaven. And there's a reason for that. Because the kingdom just doesn't automatically come. It has to be forcefully pushed forward. You have to take ground. You have to take back what Satan stole. People, ground, you have to take it back. And I'm going to tell you, every little inch that you try to take for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan will battle you for. The demons will come and battle you for that ground. No matter how insignificant it may seem, just taking one step of obedience in something that may seem little, or simple. But the devil knows obedience to the Lord manifests the kingdom on earth. It manifests the power of God in your life. It moves forward. It increases your faith. It touches people. It's a testimony to people. So the devil knows every time you obey the word of God, every time you obey the Bible or believe something there and step out and speak it, or step out and share it, or step out to obey something God's telling you, the devil is going to fight you. He will send his forces of darkness, principalities, and powers to fight you, particularly in your mind, to get you to doubt it, to get you in fear, or to get you to run away from that ground you're trying to take. I don't care if it's one step forward. Isn't that what the Bible says about the, you know, the parable of the sower? The sower sows the word, right? The sower sows the word, and what does he say happens first? The seed that's sown is the word of God. And he says what happens is that the enemy comes, the Satan, the demons come immediately and try to steal that from you. They don't want it taking root and growing and producing. But see, we've got, I'm telling you, we really, for the most part, Christians, the majority of Christians are wimps. The devil starts fighting a little bit, and what do? Withdraw right back into our little snowflake safe place. Right? Ephesians 6, verse 10. He says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Everybody say, in the evil day. Let me hear you. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," because you say it's okay to fall down and back up and give up and quit and cry and moan. No. He says, "Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Why does he say above all? Is truth not important? Absolutely, truth is important. Salvation, absolutely important. The peace of the gospel of peace, absolutely important. But guess what? All of those things depend on what? Faith. Faith believes it. Faith speaks it. Faith obeys and acts upon what it believes. And faith does not go by feelings. Faith does not go by what the circumstances appear. Faith goes by what you know to be true from God. The devil will make sure everything on the outside looks opposite to that sometimes. And if you could see it, would it be faith? Right? Faith is believing when you don't see. Faith is believing that God still heals even when you're battle sickness. Faith is believing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter how many churches say, guess what? He's not. See, faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. Wherewith you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So then he ends it saying, praying always with all kinds of prayer for the saints. We need to be praying for each other. Why would Paul write this? Why would the Holy Spirit anoint him, inspire him to write this? To remind us that we are in a spiritual battle 24/7. It never ends. Now, he said here about standing in the evil day. There are going to be times and seasons where the devil comes, Satan and his powers of darkness and principalities, where they come with extra forces against you. Maybe you're doing something you've never done before for the Lord. You're stepping out in faith. You're trying to take some new ground. Maybe it's just simply, maybe you've never really fasted before and you're trying to step out and start fasting and praying. Here he comes. I promise you he's going to come and try to stop you and discourage you. Maybe you're stepping out to start sharing the gospel at work or sharing the gospel with friends or even people who don't like you, and you feel like, okay, I'm going to step out there and start telling them some truth that they may not like. They may not want to hear. What do you think the devil's going to do? Boy, he's going to come and try to put fear in you, worry in you. Well, I might lose my job, or you know, they might hate me, or I might say something wrong. I mean, there's all kind of warfare going on. I'm just telling you today, you've got to remember these forces are working against you all the time, and there are going to be seasons that they work against you extra hard to try to stop you, try to get you to back up, give up, quit. I mean, how many people, I mean, everybody probably said, you know what? You stepped out. Maybe you said you stepped out and tried to share the gospel of Jesus or the truth of creation or something, you know, deliverance or healing or something, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You stepped out and tried to share some truth with your family, and boy, they let you have it. How many people say, you know what, I'm that stung too much, so I'm going to step back from that. I'm not doing that anymore. Exactly what the devil wants you to do. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You need to hear me. If you don't spend time praying regularly, if you don't spend time binding and resisting demons, devils, principalities, and powers in the mighty name of Jesus, if you don't do some resisting, some fighting in your prayer time, you are going to stay beat up, particularly in your mind. You're going to be tormented and vexed and oppressed and in despair, and you're going to deal with depression, and you're going to deal with all kinds of attacks and doubt and fear and worry and anxiety and torment and confusion. Because the main battlefield of this war is your mind. It's your mind. It's what he's after. It's what the devil is after. Because if he can get you thinking wrong, eventually what you think, you will begin to believe. And then what you begin to believe, you will begin to act upon. That's why Proverbs, what is it, 23:7, I think. I'm not even... maybe 23, but it says, you know, how does it go? Whatsoever man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Y'all look me up on that. I think it's 23, Proverbs 23:7. But that's a powerful thing. Old people say, oh, you're teaching the power of positive thinking. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Just what you think about, 23:7? Yep. Proverbs 23:7. Go ahead and put it up there. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's a powerful statement if you think about it. It's not what people see on the outside. But what does your mind dwell upon? One of the first verses I ever memorized, and goodness, this was 31 years ago. I think I don't even remember it now. It's Isaiah 27:3 or 26:3, but it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You can check me on that one, too. Again, this is not a prepared message this morning. 23:7, that's Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Think about that. We're going to keep our minds upon the Lord Jesus and his truth. Listen, I want to share this. I knew as we got closer and closer to this conference that we're hosting now in less than 2 weeks, I knew the devil would show up because he's faithful. He's a faithful devil. So one thing you can count on, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in high places, when you're trying to step out and do something, take ground for the kingdom, push truth forward, push the gospel forward, tell the truth, expose the devil's lies. Oh, he's going to show up all right. Oh, he's going to show up to fight you like nobody's business. And let me just say, it's don't know about y'all. I mean, it's easy sometimes when you sit there and you hear me talk about it. But when, you know, the Lord told me right after the conference in North Carolina last year, he said, you're going to do one. I didn't know when at that time, but he said, you're going to hold another conference. Now, we've done conferences before, but he said, you're going to do a biblical cosmology end time prophecy conference. And let me tell you, when you start planning these things, when you start putting it out there and renting the space and putting the word out and preparing, first of all, I thought, oh man, it'd be knocking it out of the park if 200 people come. I never dreamed that we would rent a place that would seat 400 and have a waiting list. Now, that all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I mean, it's truly the Spirit of God. It's not me or anybody else, because I'm blown away. I know it's the Lord. But you want to talk about feeling the weight of responsibility. People are coming from other countries. They're coming from all over the United States. And it's a tremendous responsibility when you stand to give the Word of God to people. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of hungry, starving sheep in this world. A lot of hungry, starving people that want the truth. They're hungry for the Word. You know, I hear it all the time, but I'm going to tell you something. Y'all have no idea the spiritual attacks that I deal with sometimes, especially when we're doing something like this we've never done before in this way. Now, I know it's going to be powerful because you know what? I've had people sharing with me how they've been praying and fasting for this. And I thank God, I thank the Lord so much for everyone who is praying and fasting and doing spiritual warfare against Satan and praying for us and the people that have given and supported this. I am blown away. I'm telling you, I'm blown away. But I knew, and after last Sunday, it was even Sunday evening, and Monday, I could feel it was like a wave of satanic, demonic darkness rolling in. And it was so heavy and so oppressive. It was crushing. And of course, you know, boom, Faith gets sick. I mean, how many times has my wife and Faith missed the Sunday morning service in 10 years? Less than a handful of times. But it wasn't just that sickness attacked Faith, and I believe it's clearly satanic, just the timing of it. But this darkness came over me. And I mean heaviness, I mean you name it, this thick, just evil, darkness, depression, you want to call fear, anxiety, worry. I mean, not to mention, nobody knows this, I'll tell y'all. But, you know, I had to go to the dermatologist, and they had to take a biopsy of a spot, and the doctor, you know, acting all concerned about it. So I'm dealing with that in my head, too. At the time. And you could say, well, okay, that's no big deal. Well, that's no big deal if it's not you. They took the chunk out of your back and say they're doing a biopsy and they're worried about it. So that was in my head. Thank God. That's not cancerous. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Not that, you know, I've already determined I'll never do chemotherapy or radiation. Regardless, Jesus will heal me or I'll go be with him. But I ain't ever toying with that mess, right? I made up my mind about that. But what I'm getting at is the devil uses these things to attack your mind. And you know what I have to do? just like anybody else. And I'm admitting this one. I'm just as normal. I don't care if I'm, because I'm a pastor, I've been saved a long time, or I'm spirit-filled, or I've seen Jesus do miracles. I still go through the battle sometimes of depression and heaviness and fear and confusion and anxiety and the devil trying to torment me with thoughts of, you know, tragedy and trouble. But you know what I do? Let me tell you, this morning, oh, last night was so bad. But this morning I got up, I went ahead and just got up. I couldn't even sleep after getting up around 4. And so I just tried to go back to sleep for a little while, and I said, I just get up. So, but that I want to tell you, that darkness, that depression, that heaviness, that, oh, it was just, I mean, it's the spiritual darkness can be so heavy sometimes that you feel it like it's a cement block or something sitting on your chest. Well, let me tell you how it lifted off, how I got it off of me this morning. I got violent in my prayer with the devil. I started in Jesus' name. I bind these demons of heaviness, oppression, darkness, anxiety, fear, torment. I bind you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I resist you. I command you, go from me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I break the curses off me and the words of hatred from Christians, from witches, from Satan. I break their curses and their words off of me, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. I break it off of me in Jesus' name. And I spoke the word of God. I said, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, through him who loved us and gave himself for us. I speak the word to that devil. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We got to speak it out. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I am healed, whether I see the healing yet or not, because he is my healer, because he took those stripes on his back for my healing. He still heals, even if my daughter is sick this week. You see what I'm saying? Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Go from me. Go from my house in Jesus' name. You will not stop this. I break every curse, every spell, every incantation of the witches and the saints. I break their curses and spells off of me and my family, my wife, my children, my church, the ministry, the conference, the speakers. I break those curses off. Even Pastor Ted's been attacked with something in his eye this week. I knew the attacks would come, but we have to fight. We have to fight. And as I did that this morning, guess what? It began to lift off. I could feel it pushing the powers of darkness back away from me. But I'm here to tell you this morning, every inch of ground you want to take for the Lord, for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and pushing that truth forward to other people, you will have to fight for it. You hear me? This is not a cakewalk. This is not a carnival. This is not for funsies. This is life and death. In fact, let's look. Just go to Philippians first. Yeah, I also took authority and bound the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Jezebel and all these demon forces. And you know, some people say, oh, what is that? Oh, well, do what I do for a little while and you'll find out who they are. Let me show you something. Now, put up this verse. Put up Acts 10:35 for me. You need to understand the devil will fight. He will bring sickness to discourage, to attack, to fight. You hear me? And this is why this verse here, You got Hebrews 10:35. I'm not Hebrews. I'm sorry. Acts 10:35. Oh, I know. Acts. I'm sorry. I got Hebrews on my mind for some reason. That's not it. Is it 34? I'm telling you, my mind is, I'm tired. All right, I'm going to have to find it. Yeah. I know it's in Acts 10. My mind is just tired this morning, I guess. Like I said, it's been a rough week. 38. I knew I was in the ballpark there. Sorry, guys. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see that? It's interesting how he attaches people that were sick to being oppressed by the devil. But, you know, most churches don't even talk about that. It's all just physical. Right? It's just physical stuff, or it's just a virus, or it's just bacteria. Granted, it can be some of those things. You don't take care of yourself, you can get sick. But Jesus went around healing, it says, all that were oppressed of the devil. Now go to Philippians. Let's see. Yeah, Philippians chapter, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Just letting you know, the battle is real. Let's go down, I guess we'll go down to verse 24. Paul was talking to the church, Philippi, and he said, he's talking about Timothy, to send Timothy to them. And verse 24, he says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Notice he adds that term, fellow soldier. But your messenger and he that ministereth to my wants, for he longed after you almost full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick. Now listen to this, verse 27. We don't talk about this too often. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. That's interesting. He says Epaphroditus was sick and nigh unto death because of his work for the Lord. Think about that. And Paul said he cried out and God had mercy on him and on Paul as well, because it would have just crushed Paul to lose this man. It doesn't say this man sinned. It doesn't say this man did anything wrong. But what does it say? It says he was a fellow soldier. He was a warrior. He's a fighter. He was with Paul to push the gospel forth, to try to encourage and strengthen and build the church. He was a soldier. He didn't regard his own life. He was like, you know what? I'm going to do what's got to be done, even if I die doing. And you know, some people, Paul was real blunt. Paul said he nearly died helping me because you didn't. Oh. Y'all see that? Let me read it again for you, just in case you miss that. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Ouch. Apostles have a way to sting you. They love on you, and then they sting you. And then they love on you again, and then they sting you. Right? But I just want you to see, there's a war going on. And that's why Paul uses the term fellow soldier. Paul is saying, this guy's with me. We're on the front lines of this battle. We're fighting. to build the church, to reach the lost, to get the truth of God's word out there, to fulfill the ministry he's called us to step out into these new areas and go into places and start churches. And he says, this my fellow soldier Epaphroditus was sick and nigh unto death because he's working hard. He's working hard for the Lord, and the devil's trying to stop him. Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, folks? Didn't Jesus say that in John 10:10? The thief, speaking of the devil, cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more. But why do you think the Lord said might? Because you got to fight. You got to fight. This is something I learned a long time ago. I remember one of my pastors used to say, you know, Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, what's a good fight? A good fight is a fight you win. Like I've said before, I used to win most of the fights I got in. But I fought five guys one evening, and I lost that one. A good fight. That was ear half torn off, concussion, black eye, getting kicked in the face after I whooped two of them. And a trip to the emergency room. That wasn't a good fight. All right? You get what I'm saying? The good fight is the fight you win. The good thing about the kingdom is this. If you fight in Jesus' name and you use the weapons of warfare in the scripture, binding the devil, in Jesus' name. The keys of the kingdom, it's a weapon, binding and loosing. We bind demons, we loose people, resisting, rebuking the forces of the darkness, speaking the word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? He spoke the word and he rebuked the devil. He resisted Satan with his words and with the word of God. He resisted the devil. So if you fight properly, you will win. But if you stand there with your hands down and let him hit you and you don't hit back, you will lose that fight. And how many Christians sit there and they don't fight back? They sit there and whine and cry and moan and groan and complain. No. Speak. Fight. Paul fought for his brother, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was fighting for the church at Philippi. He was fighting with Paul. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. What are you talking about? He fought lions or tigers and bears? No. He was talking about the spiritual beast, the principalities and powers that, you know, Ephesus was full of them. It was full. If you remember when he went to Ephesus, they had the Christians, when they got saved, had to burn their witchcraft books. They all had idols and they worshiped the goddess Diana, the demon, masquerading as the goddess Diana. And Paul said, you know, who did he write this about putting on the armor of God and praying always? To the Ephesians. Why? Because the Ephesian church was still in the midst of all of that witchcraft and occultism and idolatry in Ephesus. It's like they were in a location, a territory, that there was just more spiritual warfare going on. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. You fought any beasts lately? You know, Paul, the picture he's giving there is being a gladiator in the Colosseum when they released the tigers and the lions at you. And the gladiators would have to fight them either with their sword or whatever weapon, a spear or the bow and arrows, whatever they gave them. It was sport. But the gladiators fight the lions and the tigers and the bears. But Paul was saying, in the spirit, that's what I do. I am in battle with these things. And here's the thing. If they win, if I ease off, if I back up, if I give up, if I quit, then they will win. Imagine the man with a sword standing in the Colosseum, the Roman Colosseum, and a tiger's charging him to kill him, and he has a sword, but he does nothing. No, anybody in their right mind is going to start swinging that thing, right? And try to time it just right. You get my drift. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Somebody say hallelujah. Verse 12. There. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Kingdom of heaven suffers. Is he talking about physical violence, getting violent with people? No, Jesus didn't teach that. For the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He's talking in warfare terms, battle terms. Kingdom of heaven. You know, you think about it. I look at my own family. My dad was unsaved. My mom was unsaved. All of us kids were unsaved. My dad and mom would drink and party. There was pornography in the house. Our home, it was just darkness when I was a kid. The kingdom of heaven wasn't in my home, not even a little bit. But then, my brother, we both played baseball, but I'm 3 years older, so I was on a different baseball team. He was on his little league team. But the guys that were coaching my brother's little league team, and I've shared this before, these guys were Christians, and these guys were living it. And these guys willing to put the kingdom of God out there on the baseball field, put the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, shared with my dad. My dad said, I just saw something different in these guys. So he asked them. And they told him about Jesus, and they told him about how they got saved, and they told him about where they went to church. And so my dad said, you know, I know my life's not going all that good. And believe me, it wasn't. So he took us to this little church. And it was in that church that my dad got saved. It was in that church that I got saved and encountered the presence and power of Jesus and the gospel the first time in my life when I was 11, 12 years old in that time frame. And it was a powerful time. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God came in our life. That light came. The truth came. You know, there was a beginning. There was a seed planted. There was a start. And then let me tell you what happened after that. My mom at the time said no. She said, I'm not following Jesus. And then my mom and dad ended up divorcing. Now, granted, my dad still had his issues and mom had her issues. And there was not one more guilty than the other, trust me. Okay? This is not picking sides here. But they divorced. My dad moved away, and we stopped going to church. And I want to tell you, everything hit. I remember my dad at that time, right before all this, my dad lost his business that was a booming business. He lost his business. His mother died, and mom and dad ended up divorced. You want to think the devil didn't come and hit our family because what? We had taken a little ground in the kingdom of God, just a little bit. So here comes the devil with everything. Boom! And guess what? Because My dad was weak in his faith as a baby Christian because my mom was not, did not surrender. So dad ends up having to go to Oklahoma and California and take care of a bunch of stuff. So he's gone. So guess what? We stopped going to church. You want to know what happened to me? Losing that ground? I hit 13, 14. So the demons come now. The darkness come. My friends at school come. The influence. And what happens? A little bit of light, a little bit of progress was lost. And I started drinking and partying and doing drugs. And then came sexual immorality. Then came, you know, it just went, it just snowballed downhill. Drinking and driving. See what I'm saying? Darkness came. But think about that. Even though we lost that ground in the kingdom because nobody knew how to fight, and babies don't know how to fight, but nobody knew how to fight, so we lost that ground. But praise God, the seed was planted, though. You see what I'm saying? Because nobody, even when I went to college and people started trying to talk me out of the Bible being true and Jesus being real and all that stuff, I remember when some people tried to talk me out of it. They couldn't because I had had a real experience in that church with the Lord. I'd really met the Lord. I'd really been born again. I'd really felt his presence and power come in my life. I believed the gospel. I believed about the truth about sin, about heaven, about hell. It was real. It was a revelation, and I had an encounter with the Lord. And so that seed was planted. But that's why, listen, folks, you know, the devil fights so hard because truly a little seed can change an entire family. And so what ended up happening, I go through 7 years of junior high, high schools, first year of college, just running with the devil, as Van Halen used to say. Running with the devil. And then somebody had the guts. Somebody had the strength. Somebody had the courage. A born-again, spirit-filled Christian had the courage to talk to me about Jesus, to tell me again I couldn't live in drunkenness and fornication and immorality and everything else and go to heaven. Somebody had the courage to tell me the truth, and God used that to bring conviction into my life, and it rescued me again from the darkness, and I repented of my sins and gave Jesus my life and answered the call to ministry because somebody was willing to take the kingdom of God to bring it to me by force. How many people say, oh, I'm not going to talk about Jesus? No, I thank God that my boss at work would not leave me alone about Jesus. That he gave me all of the chick tracks, that he gave me the satanic rock music expose that I listened to, that he just kept talking to me, that he was willing to tell me, you will not go to heaven as a habitual drunkard. And show it to me in the scriptures. And because he was willing to step out and speak the truth, he was willing to step out and try to take ground for the kingdom, to take it by force, to not sit back and just try to let things happen. It brought me to repentance and a renewed faith. And think about it. I think about that guy. His name's David. I remember, too, because I'm 6 foot now, 230. He was 6'4", then about 240 pounds. A few people I look up to, you know. But I thank God for him every day, and I think about him. Because what he did in my life, look at how many people's lives it's affected. The kingdom was pushed forward. Because somebody was willing to be strong, to tell the truth, to not back up. Even when I got mad at him. Oh, I got mad at him. Because I wasn't scared of anybody. I fought guys that big. I wasn't scared of anybody. And I remember him just not backing down. Just giving me the kingdom, the truth. And you know, when you're on your day off and you've been under conviction of the Holy Spirit for 3 weeks, I was on my day off. I lived 10 miles away from the restaurant that he owned. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and was like, I got to get right with God and I got to do it today. And I drove all the way into work and I, on my day off, opened the back door and he said, I know why you're here. I said, I got to get right with God. I got to do it today. And we walked outside, prayed a prayer to ask Jesus to forgive me in a repentance. And let me tell you, that day, I mean, I understood repentance that day. He didn't have to explain it to me. The Holy Spirit had made it clear. You're going to leave the drugs and the alcohol and the fornication and your own will and your own plans, and you're going to surrender to me, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you're going to follow me and do my will and obey me and walk with me. And I said, yes, Lord. But see, David was that for me. David in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. But you got to be that for other people. You got to press forward. You got to take the kingdom out there and push it out there. You got to be violent. You got to be willing to be violent. Why do you think people get so offended when you start talking about sin and about heaven and about hell and judgment? Why do you think people get so crazy? Because in the spirit realm, it's violence. Because, see, they all have demons. And so when you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when you take the truth and you start swinging it at those demons in them, it's uncomfortable. The demons in them are very uncomfortable, and the demons in them make them feel what they feel. The demons hate the gospel. They hate Jesus. Oh, you can talk about God all day long. Don't say the name Jesus. I'm going to ask you guys to pick it up, to step it up. We got 2 weeks. We have people coming from all over the world, all over the United States, and there'll be probably more than that watching. And I know for a fact that there are unsaved people, backslidden people, coming to this. And I know many are going to be watching this. So this is our opportunity. It's another opportunity to push the kingdom of God and the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Word of God forth. Multiple. We're going to be addressing creation. We're going to be addressing end time prophecy. We're going to be addressing how we know the Bible is the inspired word of Almighty God who created this place. And what I'm praying, you got to understand, we are going to be at war the next 2 weeks. So I need everybody, anybody out there watching, listening, those of you here, I need you guys to step up your prayer time, your spiritual warfare time, your fasting time. You're not doing it for Pastor Dean. You're doing it because, you know what? It may be one person that the devil's trying to keep from getting saved, because when they get saved, they're going to turn their world around them upside down. See, God has a way. You know, I think about David all the time. David is not a pastor. He's not a minister. He's not out. He's not out there like I am. But guess what? Everything I do is on his account. Fruit that I have is because, and the Lord will say, you know what? David was faithful. David wasn't called to be a pastor, wasn't called to be out there preaching to, all these people. But he preached to me. And God called me to do that. And so guess what? All the fruit I have is part of his fruit. Isn't that good? You don't have to win 10,000 people to the Lord. You don't have to win 1 million people to the Lord. Maybe the Lord's just got one person you got to get. Just make sure you get them. Make sure you prayed and fought and fasted and rebuked the devil and used the power, the keys of the kingdom, binding and loosing. Make sure you fought for them and you shared the truth with them. And you did not let fear or confusion or anxiety or any demonic force stop you. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, it's interesting. Violent. Look at this. Let's go to Jude. We'll close with this one. I'm going to be short today. Jude, the little one chapter book right before Revelation. I'll let y'all turn there. Let's read from verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual or fleshly, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Snatching. I love this word. It says, on some have compassion, making a difference. Some people you're going to be very gentle with, but you're still going to give them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the only way for forgiveness. He is the only way to eternal life. He is the only way to escape judgment and the damnation of hell. He is the only way. He is the only Messiah. You're still going to give them the truth, but you're going to love on them. There's people that are so wounded. They've been so wounded and abused and in this world, and they just need some compassion. They still need the truth, but they need compassion. But then he says, others, you're going to have to what? Snatch them out of the fire. They got one foot in hell now. And you're going to have to grab hold of them and pull them out. This doesn't sound like being a mealy mouth, lukewarm, seeker-sensitive, megachurch, American Christian. It sounds like telling the truth. Going after them. Pulling them out. Trying to pull them. You know, compelling them to come in. Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear. People get on to me sometimes. Oh, Dean, you're just scaring people. Good. I hope I scare the hell out of you. I hope I scare the hell out of you. I hope I scare the sin out of you. I hope I scare the lies of the devil out of you. I hope you fear God and not man. Fear God. Don't fear the devil. Others say we're pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, I don't hate homosexuals, but I hate homosexuality because I know what it will do to the homosexual if they practice that. I don't hate adulterers, but I know what adultery will do if the adulterer keeps committing adultery. I don't hate drunkards or drug addicts, but I know what the drugs and the alcohol will do if they keep doing those things. So I hate that stuff. Do you hate the garment spotted by the flesh? I hate idolatry. I don't hate Catholics, but I hate the fact they've been deceived and lied to worship Mary and saints and angels and bow before statues weeping, just like Hindus do. I don't hate anybody, but I hate the sin and the lies and the deception and the works of Satan that's trying to destroy them and take them away from their Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I hate. So do you hate it? You know, I love my Canadian friends. I have many Canadians. Many Canadians watch and listen. And the Lord bless them. They're so nice and sweet. And I was talking to one of my Canadian friends this week, and he said, you know, Pastor Dean, sometimes you sound angry. He said, but then I was reading Ephesians 4 the other day, and he said, be angry and sin not. And he goes, I know you're angry about the right thing. Yeah, I'm not angry at people. I'm angry at what is destroying people, destroying their marriages, destroying their children, destroying their hope of eternal life, destroying this world. Evil and wickedness and sin, it destroys us. And that's why, you know, and I promise I'll close with it. It's not even 12 o'clock, so I'm doing good. Unless that clock's slow. But you know something? Any good parent would not let their two-year-old play in the middle of a busy street, right? Now, the two-year-old might think the street is the greatest place in the world to play because it has these nice painted lines and they can play with their cars. Look, the best thing in the world, right? Just, it's fun. Leave me alone. Daddy, let me play here on the center line. It's fun. I got my cars and my trains right here on the center line. But no parent would allow that, right? But now the two-year-old cannot process why Daddy says, no, you are not playing, and then they think Daddy's being mean. And then they plop down on the ground and pitch a little temper tantrum, right? But see, God who created us, people all say, well, I don't see why I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this. Guess what? He knows exactly what will destroy us and what he knows what is best for us. He knows homosexuality is not good for us. He knows fornication is not good for us. He knows adultery is not good for us. He knows drugs and alcohol is not good for us. He knows these things are not good for us and where they will lead us. Actually, he would be evil if he just let us say, go do what you want. Go do what you want. There's no accountability to anything. There's no repercussions to anything. No. He knows. So a long time ago, I decided, you know what? I decided, you know, my Father in heaven loves me. Therefore, if he tells me something, it's because he loves me. And if he tells me no to something or don't do something, it's because he loves me. And I don't have to know all the reasons why. I can trust him because I know he's out for my good. Yeah? Simple. It is simple. It is a simple gospel when you really boil it down to it. Stop doing the things that are evil and wicked and destructive, following God, and get to know Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Master, as your teacher, as your friend, and walk with him. I tell people all the time, I've used the example many times. I don't go cheat on my wife. Why? Because I like our relationship and I want to keep it. I don't find it a struggle. You know what I'm saying? I don't find it a struggle. I like my relationship with my wife. I don't want to hurt her, and I don't want to destroy our relationship. I don't want to end up separating from each other. So guess what? You see, I don't know why this is such a hard concept for people to understand about God. I want a relationship with him. I don't want to do anything that would hurt him or separate us. And there's people out there, oh, there's nothing you can do to separate you. Oh, yes, there is. But it's simple. It's really simple. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's do one. Let's do, Yes, let's do that one. Let's worship with one song before we leave this morning, since I'm letting y'all out so early. Let's worship the Lord for a minute. You make it all right. Breakthrough, Lord. Any ground we take, Lord, for the kingdom, any ground of truth, any ground, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, it's because of your anointing, your power, your grace, your mercy. It is because of the blood you shed on the cross. It's because you help us, Lord. It is your strength. So, Lord, we cry out to you, Lord, to help us. Break through into our lives. Do something new. Lead us and guide us into the truth of your word. Lead us and guide us into the things you've called us to do, to step out in. Lead us and guide us to people we're to talk to. Lord, break through in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would truly open the windows of heaven and step down, and that you would pour out your glory and your power, and that we would see a revival, Lord, truly begin. Lord, we pray for that. We know that there are seasons that the enemy, that Satan and his forces of darkness come in like a flood, and then there's seasons, Lord, you raise up a standard. You pour out your spirit. You move in power and glory, and even signs and wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. We're praying, Lord, for the anointing, for the power of the Spirit, for you to be glorified in all we do, Lord. The rest of these next few weeks, we pray that Jesus truly would be glorified by everything we do, everything we say, everything we preach and teach, by all of us, that we would truly take ground, that some would be snatched from the flames, they would be saved and delivered, and that some would be even be healed miraculously. And that you bring people out of darkness and lies and deception to the truth of your word. Father, we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Hug some necks before you leave.
Your computer.